Peace be with you. Welcome to the Dean Show. I'm Eddie, your host. We're going on five, not yet. We're almost there. In 2016, we should hit 500 episodes. That's right. And we've been going strong, thank God. And we're going to continue, inshallah. We have our next guest coming in, the legendary Gracie family. I've had others on the show, Hoyce Gracie, Henna Gracie. We got Hori and Gracie from the legendary family who started the Ultimate Fighting Championships. We're going to be talking about, you know, Ramadan is coming up, and we want to make sure, look, obesity is on the rise, diabetes, heart disease, all of these things that are slowly, the food that we're eating is slowly killing us. Yes. So Horian is taking off with this wonderful eating regimen. We're going to be learning about it, the Gracie diet, so we can get some tips for Ramadan, how to start it, from his advice, and how to end with it, what to put in our bodies so we can be better prepared. We can have a blessed fast. We will see you when we come back with our next guest here on the Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Dean Show. This is the Dean Show.
And welcome back to the Dean Show, and with us all the way from California, Hori and Gracie. How are you, sir?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you.
Now, before we get into this very important topic, just we've had some of the Gracies on the Dean Show before. Hori and Gracie, tell us a little bit about yourself. Have you heard of this big event now? Because we know your family is into the martial art. I trained the Gracie Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, most effective martial art in the world by far. Now there's this up and coming. It's a huge, big event. It's called the Ultimate Fighting Championships. Have you ever heard of it?
I heard about
it. Oh, I'm sorry. You started it. Is that right?
That's right. When I came to the States, first time in 1969, I had a very unique experience here. My ticket was stolen. What was going to be a trip for about a month ended up to be a trip for 1 year. It gave me the passion for the United States. I made some good friends. And then I went back to Brazil in 1978. After I finished law school, I decided to come back to the States with the objective of establishing jiu-jitsu and sharing with the rest of the world. That was my dream then. So I put some mats in my garage, and every person I met anywhere, I invited for a free class. And the guy loved it, of course. And if he came back and brought a friend, I'll give him another free class. If he brought 10 friends, I'll give him 10 free classes. And that's how the word started spreading around. It was not uncommon that sometimes a student would say, hey, Horio, my former kung fu instructor or karate or Thai boxing or whatever does not believe in jiu-jitsu. He wants to challenge you to a fight. Would you accept that? I said, of course. So he would bring their former karate instructors or different martial arts to challenge me in the garage. And of course, I would tell my students, you know, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, you know, there's a challenge match against this and that guy. And the students would pile up and love to watch that kind of stuff. And repeatedly, because jiu-jitsu is indeed the most effective form of martial art, it would allow me to control my opponents without having to bloody up anybody or hurt anyone in a very loving way, hug those guys, put them on the ground, squeeze their necks a little bit, twist their arms a little bit, and ultimately they would give up and say, wow, this stuff is amazing, I want to learn this. So the large majority of people that came to challenge me eventually became friends and students, and that's how the West was won. Over and over, hundreds of times, I had those challenging mats in my garage during a period of over 10 years when I was teaching out of my garage. And eventually, it dawned on me that if I came to the United States with the objective of sharing the art of jiu-jitsu, developed by my family, with the rest of the world, I could not be in a little tiny garage in Hermosa Beach. I have to think big. And that's when I came up with the concept of creating a tournament, which is the Ultimate Fighting Championship, to compare different styles of martial arts against one another. I put Hoyce in there, little tiny skinny little Hoyce goes in there, does the job, shows everybody the effectiveness of Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, and the rest is history, you know? And now we're here.
Yeah, we had Hoist, your brother, not too long ago on the program. Tell us, we see in this clip now, is this a Kung Fu guy? It seems like you're giving him one of these Gracie hugs. He's rushing at you. This seems like this is from the Gracie in action. And now you're stepping back, then you step in, you give him a hug. What's going on here?
I'm not seeing exactly what you're seeing there, but the idea is that's the trick. You know, you want to avoid the distance where they can be dangerous with their strike. And as soon as there is an opportunity, you close the gap, take him to the ground, and ultimately you look for submission. So that's the plan. Every single time it works like a charm.
Now let's talk about something. I mean, it's so detrimental. I mean, this is something that I'm just blown away. I'm flabbergasted. The more I look into this, it's like a whole new world is opened up to me. I can see now that I've changed my diet. I'm eating different. I've eliminated certain things from my diet. You know, it's just amazing. I want to really share this with, you know, these basic things that people can do that can really dramatically change their life. We see diabetes, heart disease, you know, cancer, all these things that were, you know, basically unknown at a certain time. Now it's an epidemic, obesity. And you're somebody who's also, you've taken on this challenge and you're also educating like you were people on the most effective martial art. Now you're educating people on diet.
Well, it's not exactly a diet, first of all. I think that people don't understand. The real secret of the success of the Gracie family is not our jiu-jitsu, it's our health. That's the trick. And it shouldn't be called a diet, Eddie, because you're not restricted from eating basically anything. You can eat anything you want. The trick is how to combine the foods within a certain meal. And Uncle Carlos, my father's older brother, he spent 65 years of his life studying food combining. He was not a doctor, he was a self-taught nutritionist, but he's read the works of scientists and doctors and experts in all kinds of areas of health and nutrition to finally come up with his own conclusions of what should be mixed within a meal in order to avoid acidity on your system, because acidity is what causes all kinds of health problems. So if you can have a meal in which the ingredients or the items of that meal, when combined together, when mixed together in that same process of digestive process, they bring about alkalinity in your body instead of acidity, then you're doing good. But if by accident or by habit or because you don't know about it, by ignorance, you mix certain ingredients on that food that are not combining properly, those ingredients might cause acidity in your system, and therefore you can have your heartburn, your headache, your cavity, your stomach aches and gastritis and all kinds of health issues that we are just not aware of. You know, eating is something almost very much, almost cultural. Your great grandmother taught your grandmother taught your mom teaches you, and you're probably going to teach your kids things to eat things that you enjoy eating. In my family, instead of eating, just eat something because it tastes good, we have all been taught to eat something because it's good for you. It's good for your health. So ultimately, that's the trick. You have to learn to like what's good for you. The person who likes cigarettes or likes, you know, crack cocaine, the fact that he likes it doesn't make good for him. So the trick is to learn to choose the things that are good for you, ultimately beneficial for your health. That's the key.
Have you heard this statement, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food? What do you think about this? What do you think about this statement?
I had a staple in my head when I was a little kid. Are you kidding me? Of course I heard. I grew up with that. Hippocrates is amazing. That's the father of medicine. He was saying stuff like that, you know, thousands of years ago and way ahead of his time, you know. And that's what the whole idea is about. People usually eat and are guided by the flavor or by the taste of certain foods. That's what determines what they eat. The trick is, like I said, learn to like what's good for you. That's the magic, you know. Once you grasp that concept and change your perception or your way of looking at food as something that must be beneficial for your health, instead of something just to stuff your face and fill up your belly, it changes everything. Life is beautiful, you know?
Now someone says, okay, I agree with that, Horian, Mr. Gracie. I like to supersize it, okay? I like a lot of sugar. I like, brownies and Twinkies and supersize it. Sometimes I'll give it a different taste. I go to Burger King, right? I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, again, if the person is not aware, the person has... You have to change your perception of food. Have you tried a cantaloupe juice fresh squeezed cantaloupe juice with four or five bananas and a couple of little bars of acai as a breakfast, you know, a smoothie? And if you don't know that kind of stuff, you don't know what you're missing. So if you want to have the brownies and the sugar and the fat and the coffee and all that kind of stuff because it tastes good, you're not taking into consideration another aspect of your life that could eventually pay big benefits. By eating and just stuffing your face with stuff that tastes good but not very good quality stuff, not good for your health, eventually you will pay a price for that, you know? And then it's just a question of choice. Life is about choices. I would suggest them to get a hold of the book, the Greasy Diet book, look at some of the recipes and suggestions of meals we have there. Probably a lot of stuff that you already eat and already like, you're just not mixing them right. That's the key.
We're going to take a break. You heard that with the Greasy Diet. We're going to be talking about more of that here on the Dean Show. Ramadan is right around the corner. We're going to get some advice on how you can start your day eating right, because long days fasting, here with Hori and Gracie. When we come back, don't go anywhere. Right back.
This Ramadan brings with it 18-hour fast at the peak of summer, a challenge for the body and mind. In this short video, we look at what happens to your body when you fast. Less blood will be flowing to your digestive system when you fast, so more blood will be sent to other tissues in your body. In addition, your body will use the fasting period to remove deposits of cholesterol that line the blood vessels. When you breathe, your body can absorb thousands of toxins which are infused in the environment around us. Fasting helps us remove the toxins that have built up within your lungs. Your stomach uses a time during fasting to clean itself and remove any waste matter to allow for more efficient digestion. Your intestines also use a time during fasting to clean themselves and remove any waste matter to allow for more efficient digestion. Your liver provides the body with glycogen, the secondary energy source, and breaks down fat to provide glycerol, another energy source. When you are fasting, your kidneys increase the amount of diuresis, the process of excretion of salt and water, which leads to lower blood pressure. The month of fasting can be extremely beneficial for us, mentally, spiritually, and physically. As long as you eat the right foods and don't push yourself too hard physically, you may find yourself in a healthier state at the end of the month.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show with Hori and Gracie from the legendary Gracie family. By far, there's no doubt about it. Again, going back, and we'll come back to where we're going. It's proven most effective martial art in the world. Is that without a doubt? By now, there's no speculation in that, is it?
Oh, it's food?
I'm talking about the Gracie system, the martial arts system.
Absolutely, there's no doubt. I mean, it changed the world once and for all, you know?
Okay,
Nobody ventures into a fighting competition nowadays unless they have at least the basics of jiu-jitsu. They can't do that. They know they don't have a chance. So fights ultimately are going to end up on the ground. They're going to get into a clinch after a few punches and kicks. And if you don't have the knowledge on the ground game, you have no chance. So my dream of sharing jiu-jitsu with the world was absolutely accomplished since the creation of the UFC. Now the word is getting around. The armed forces are using it. Every branch is embracing this concept. And every major federal law enforcement agency is now more and more utilizing the techniques of jiu-jitsu. And we're very happy with that.
So this is a family that has a very good track record. This is proven by science leverage. This is now something you said, the key to that. We're talking about the food now. This is another aspect that is rarely touched upon. Most people are uninformed in this area. And I think now hopefully we can reach out a whole new audience and people. I have found just by eliminating certain things, personally, I mean, people don't have to do this, but I read a fabulous article, and one of the leading heart surgeons, he talked about one of the leading causes for heart disease was sugar. So I call sugar poison.
The real problem is the food companies who load their products up with sugar, which critics call dangerous and addictive.
Sugar is poison. Diabetes, heart disease, lipid problems, strokes, cancer. Those diseases are being driven by sugar.
In my home. I've replaced it with other substitute, raw honey, with stevia. Can we talk about sugar a little bit?
Refined sugar is not good for you. Absolutely. But people like sweet things. I personally, I like a sweet thing.
I love sweet. If you put it in front of me, I'm in.
I know. But the trick is, like you said, select not only the kind of sugar you're eating, but more importantly, how do you eat that sugar? I have meals, for example, if I have a fish or some risotto or some vegetables, I'm not going to eat that with a sweet dessert. Even though people are accustomed to having a little dessert because it tastes good, it satisfies your sweet tooth. Sugar, when combined with fat, which is the ingredients that is used to prepare your fish or your rice or your vegetables, whatever it is, sugar and fat, that's the bomb, that's the problem. To have sugar alone or mixed with the right things, it's bad for you, especially if it's refined sugar, but it's not as damaging as if you mix sugar with fat, if you have it for dessert. So if I'm having, like I said, fish and some rice and some vegetables as a meal for lunch, for example, I'm not going to have dessert on that meal, but I will have a sweet meal later on in the day. Last night, for example, I had watermelon juice. I had some rye crackers. I had a slice of cheese and I had some dates. So that's a way for me to satisfy my sweet tooth in a meal that does not conflict with the previous meal because it's 4.5 hours apart, which is one of the basic concepts. And then you can have your sweet, satisfy your sweet tooth in a way that is very healthy. You know, it keeps you going forever with good health and all the energy that you need.
So we can take out this, what you said, refined sugar and replace it with the natural sugars. You mentioned one thing, the date. Dates are a great substitute. Is that right?
Yeah, dates and honey and raisins. I mean, there's other ways you can absolutely find, you know, eat sweet things and then combine it properly and have the great results.
There's a clip right now that they're seeing of a journalist showing the Coca-Cola president how many packs of sugar are actually in. And this is one thing I want you to take off with, just eliminating. And this is also another acidic food, falls under acidic, is the pops, right? The sodas. If we eliminate now this from our fridge.
Absolutely. I mean, Coca-Cola people is not interested in your health. I mean, the last thing they care is about your health. It's 12 spoons of sugar in each Coke. I mean, we know it's bad for your health. It's horrible. So the question I have is, to the parents out there, at what age, you've seen people use Coca-Cola to drink, to clean, you know, the stains and to clean, how do you say, what do you think, rusty
yes.
materials and stuff like that. At what age is it okay to give Coca-Cola to your baby? When he's a year old or 6 months old or 2 years old? At what age it's okay? We know Coca-Cola is poison. Everybody knows that. But it tastes good. And like I said, the people at Coca-Cola, the last thing they want is to worry about your health. They just want to sell another Coke. So if a parent, knowing that Coca-Cola is bad for your health, feeds the kid a Coca-Cola, I mean, what the heck? What is he thinking? You know what I'm saying? It's known that one glass, your body works on an acidity level between 6.75 and 7.25. That's the range that the body tries to maintain itself in terms of acidity versus alkalinity, right there. If you drink a glass of soda, it has a 2.5 acidity in it. You need to drink 32 glasses of good water to wash off that one glass of Coca-Cola. You literally have to drown yourself. Yeah. 32 glasses of water. Nobody does that. So knowing that stuff is really bad for your health. Next time your kid is in a restaurant and say, Dad, I want a Coke. I'm telling you now. If you say, hey, kid, waiter, bring the little kid a Coke, you're actually helping to poison your own child. Don't do that. Eliminate the sodas in general. It's the best thing you can do for your health.
Do you recommend? I saw a very, I mean, this is like a documentary. I was excited about purchasing and giving out to people. It's called Fed Up. Have you seen this documentary called Fed Up?
It's been called dangerous. It's been called addictive. And it's in almost everything we eat, sugar. Tonight, the food industry is up in arms over a controversial new movie accusing Big Food of peddling unhealthy sugar-filled products, especially to our kids.
What if our whole approach to this epidemic has been dead wrong?
The new movie, Fed Up.
I heard a lot about that. I have not seen yet, but I heard it's really good. There's a whole bunch of those out there right now. Very informative stuff.
Yeah, this is, and that's the thing, really getting educated. Tell us some of the concepts now of the Gracie way of eating.
Okay, this is the basic concept. Number one, you should only have 3 meals a day. Or better yet, you should space your meals at least 4.5 hours apart. So if you have breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning, you should not eat anything within 4.5 to 5 hours. So you have to allow your meal to be completely digested before you eat anything else. The idea of eating every 3 hours, like many nutritionists suggest, is not good for your health at all. So number one, space your meals at least 4.5 to 5 hours apart. More than that is okay, but never less than 4.5 to 5 hours. So that's number one. Rule number two, when you have cooked food, something that is prepared with fat or oil or butter, you should not have sweets with it. In other words, after eating your cooked meal, do not eat dessert. Not even a fruit, nothing like that. If you're hungry, ask for another steak, have another pizza, but do not eat fat or sweets, do not eat sugar or sweets with as a dessert for that meal. A glass of juice, nothing like that, okay? And rule number three, you should have one starch per meal. In other words, if you're having bread, you should not have French fries. Bread and potatoes are different starches. They should not be mixed in the same meal. So you can have bread, pasta, pizza, and crackers because they're all made out of wheat. It's okay, but don't have potatoes and bread. Hamburger and French fries, bad combination. Don't do that. So those are the three basic concepts that, of course, we explain more at length at the Gracie Diet book or the GracieDiet.com website. We can have much more information on that, but those are the big concepts that people have to get used.
I found now, you know, that the Creator has put all of this wonderful food in the earth, you know, the fruits and vegetables. And I mean, would you advise staying away from anything that's gone through the human process now and going more towards the natural way? We call it processed foods.
That would be a wise thing to do, Eddie, but it's not realistic. You know what I'm saying? You can see people don't eat anything that is processed. I mean, you just can't do it. Everywhere you go, you don't have access. Unless you lived in a farm in the middle of nowhere and you had ability to plant everything and raise everything, that would be ideal. But this is utopia. We can't do that. Realistically, more importantly than the quality of the food that you're eating. In other words, you don't have to eat everything organic only. I don't do that. I eat some things organic and some things I just don't have access to have organic to that. So I eat the food, even though it's not organic, like I said, more important than just having organic of everything is combining the foods properly. That's the trick. You can't have a hamburger and you can't have French fries. Just don't eat the hamburger with the French fries because the bread and the potatoes are a bad combination. Now, we all know that if McDonald's sell a hamburger for $1.99, and they're literally making a killing with that, by making a lot of profit with that, you know, the quality of the meat is the worst, the quality of the bread is the worst, we know all that. So it's up to you to become more informed and start selecting. Do I want to have that meat that is very cheap, it's very convenient, and I drive by, and it tastes good because it's got a lot of fat and sugar in it? Or do I want to be a little more concerned about my own health or my family's health and start being a little more selective on the process? So that's the trick. You have to become more aware of it. And again, changing your current eating habits is probably one of the most difficult things there is, but it's worth looking into it. And it's an easy read. The Gracie Diet book's a very easy read. You'll read it in a couple of days, and it'll give you so much information. And you can take very gradual changes. You can take one step at a time. Make one little change every day, you'll make a huge difference. Wake up in the morning, you got a glass of water. First thing in the morning, do that. It will make you feel a lot better. It will be a big difference on your life.
So you substitute more water instead of the pop and the sodas and the yeah, of course. We're going to take a break and we're right back with more. We want some advice from you. We're going to be starting Ramadan. This is the fifth pillar of Islam. And we need some advice for all those who are fasting. We're going to get it from you. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
We're going to be right back here with Hori and Gracie from the legendary Gracie family here on the Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Misconception: Muslims are terrorists. This is by far the biggest misconception of Islam, given unfairly by stereotyping and the public image that the media gives. Has anyone else noticed how when a specific group of people attack another group of people, it is labeled as a hate crime, but when a Muslim opens fire on anybody, it is quickly regarded as terrorism? Many political dictators and officials or extremist groups use the name of Islam as a strategy to garner followers and attention when many of their practices go against the true basis of Islam. The media has also portrayed Islam as a cult or a club where if you join, you become a terrorist, and that is now part of your agenda. However, all over the world, people practice Islam in the true form and use it as a way of life. There are many verses in the Quran that go against the idea of terrorism. Some of these verses include, "Fight the way of Allah, those that fight you, but do not transgress limits, for God does not love transgressors." This basically means do not fight except in self-defense, and even in doing so, do not go beyond defense. Another verse states, "If they seek peace, then you seek peace." which means do not attack people for no reason or kill innocent people. There is nowhere in Islam, whether it be in the Quran or the teachings of Muhammad, that promotes the killing of innocent people.
I want you to imagine, you wake up and in front of you are a bunch of guys running around, kicking a ball. No goals, no lines, no rules. What would you think? But is that your life? Surely every sport has its goal. Every game has its end. It has its objective. It has its rules. How about life? How about our life? Isn't there a goal to life? Isn't there a purpose, an objective that we have to reach? We think so. The Quran tells us that we exist in order to worship God. And worshiping God means knowing God. As the Quran says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Worship, though, is not some narrow, small thing. It's wide, it's vast, it encompasses everything that the human being does. Everything that you do, everything that you think, everything that you feel can be done, thought, said, felt in a way that is either pleasing or displeasing to God. The purpose of life is to try and do everything in a way that God loves and God is pleased with. That is your goal.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here with Horian Gracie. Now, many people, they think, look, you go supersize it, and it's pretty cheap. It's pretty affordable. But, you know, people think, wow, you know, if I want to eat healthy, it seems very expensive. What do you have to say to this?
Well, first of all, they don't take in consideration a couple of things. Number one, when you eat fast food and that kind of stuff, you have the habit of nibbling throughout the whole day. So if you think about how much money you spend on snacks and little tiny things like that, it does add up, number one. Number two, in terms of eating healthy, if you're more selective on what you're eating, it might cost you a little bit more money now, but you save on doctor bills and hospital bills in the long run. Trust me, it's pay now or pay later. You know, the fact that you might spend a couple more bucks and select a food that is healthier for you now, you make you feel so much better, so much more energetic, so much more ready to deal with everything than if you eat just anything and stuff your face with stuff that you don't like. I mean, food that you like, but it's not good for you. Before you know, you have to spend money on medicine. You have to take your Alka-Seltzers and your Tums and your antacids and all that kind of stuff, you know, doctor bills and everything else. It's not worth it. Spend 2 weeks experimenting with the Gracie diet, and you're going to feel so much better. You never turn back. I mean, this is it. I am so excited and so sure about this stuff that I want to announce to you right here. You know, listen to this one. This is serious.
Please, go ahead.
Get the Gracie Diet book from GracieDiet.com website. Get the book. Try the Gracie Diet for 2 weeks. If you don't feel better, send me the book back, and I'll give you the money back.
That sounds like a great deal.
Nobody gives you them. Go to Barnes & Noble, buy any book you want, read it, and say, I didn't like it, I want my money back. They're going to say, get lost. But I'm so confident and so committed to this cause of helping people to have a better life that I'm willing to give you the money back if you try the diet for 2 weeks and you don't feel amazing. And I know that you're going to try it, you're going to feel better, and you're going to say, gosh, this is great. I need another book to give to my rest of my family. Do it.
Horian, tell us now, we're coming across the time of the year that we fast. Muslims fast. Islam is based on five pillars. One is to acknowledge that the Creator created us and to be thankful for all the wonderful blessings. And He alone do we worship, and Muhammad is the last final messenger. That's the first pillar. Then we pray five times a day, give to the poor, and then we have Hajj once in a lifetime, and fasting. Everyone knows about Ramadan. I'm sure you've heard about it, right? Yes. So we wanted your advice as an expert in this area. We start off, just to give you some familiarity, we start off before the break of dawn. We'll get up, we can eat, okay? And typically, traditionally, we'll have dates, water, and whatever else. So what would be your advice when we get up to hydrate ourselves, because all day we stay away from drinking, eating, relations with the spouse, wife, and then when the sun goes down at the break, at the sunset, then we can go ahead. And many people, they end up feasting now. They end up just overdoing it. So that, what would be your advice? Starting the fast, and then what to break it with to get ready. Again, we got to do this for 30 days, Horian.
Well, of course, you want to have enough food that is energetic enough to keep you through the whole day. That's no doubt on that. So you have to have a good hearty meal, I'd say, before in the morning so that you can hold you off the rest of the day. I'd recommend that you break the fast with something lighter, with something with some fruits and something a little more light to break the fast after the whole, because it allows your body to hydrate better instead of just stuffing your face with, you know, meats and all that kind of stuff too much. I would have that before the fast. You know, that's my suggestion, so that you have enough fuel in your body to let you hold longer throughout the day. And then break the fast with some fruits and meals and cheeses and stuff like that, a little more dates and stuff, a little more lighter to break the fast that way. If Ramadan, has the objective of cleansing the person's body and spirit.
Right? Yes, that's the idea. Exactly.
In a way, fasting is not just a physical fasting, but fasting in all aspects of your life. I mean, really looking into appreciating and showing gratitude and understanding and accepting the whole leadership of the Creator, or whatever you want to say that way. If that's the objective, what if instead of looking at your way of eating only during Ramadan, a person would consider what they're eating? In other words, be aware of it, not just during Ramadan, but during your whole life. In other words, why would you just pig out and eat everything if it's not Ramadan season, stuff your face with everything else, instead of considering every meal almost as a holy experience, as a holy opportunity? I prepare a meal at my house here for the kids. For us, it's almost like a ceremony that happens every single day. So I don't wait for one specific day of the year or a specific time of the year to really be careful with what I eat. Once a month, I fast. I don't eat anything for 24 hours, just as a way, not only for me to help me cleanse my body, but a way for me to detach from the need of eating something. The idea of I have to stuff my face all the time. By spending a day, a month without eating anything, it just reminds me that there's much bigger things out there than just eating. Eating is just a way of nourishing my body, not a way to stuff my face. So if we take seriously and look at the advice and the objective of the Ramadan as a way to cleanse your body during that period, why not look at every single meal for the rest of your life as a way to nourish your body in an intelligent way, in a positive and healthy way, you know? So I think it, for me, it's much more profound than that. Doing it for a month is brilliant, is important, in a way to embrace the whole world that follows the guideline to do it that way. But my suggestion is, look at every meal with respect and appreciation for your body. Your body is your temple. We don't have the right to mess it up by feeding it the junk and wrong stuff. And I don't care how I feel, I just want to stuff my face. Don't do that. That is, in a sense, you're breaking the laws of the Creator. You know, He gave you the temple. It's your obligation. It's your responsibility to do the best you can. Why would you get sick? Why would you accept the idea of eating a meal and then feeling so bloated and sick and with heartburn that you have to take a medicine to calm that down, have to take a medicine to take away your heartburn? Why don't you eat something that does not give you the heartburn?
This is a wonderful, brilliant advice. This is also in our tradition that we are not supposed to be stuck. Exactly what you're saying. Exactly. But it's a shame that, you know, it's one thing what we're told to do, and it's another thing what people are doing. Before we conclude, we got a couple more minutes. We see in this diet a wonderful thing. You stay away from alcohol also, pork also. This is amazing. It's very similar to, you know, what we're supposed to stay away from here.
I'm on the right direction, I guess.
Yeah, this is amazing. So closing comments and advice, what you want to say, you mentioned get the book, where can they get it, and what else you can tell us from your years of experience? I mean, you got a lot of experience over the years. Tell us.
I think this, of course, to get the book at GracieDiet.com, the website is available there, or Amazon, you can also have the book over there. My advice is this: all bad things happen for a good reason. So if anybody out there is feeling any kind of health issues, don't take a medicine to solve that problem. The same way if you're driving a car on the freeway and a little red light blinks on the panel, do you put a Band-Aid over it or you pull over to a mechanic and have the guy fix it? So if your body ever, if you feel a heartburn or headache or if you have any kind of health issues, if you have to take a medicine for that, instead of taking a medicine, which would be a Band-Aid, look into what the way you're eating and fix it so that your body can heal itself. It's the best present we can get from the Creator, is a healthy body. So GracieDiet.com, get your book. If you don't like it, send me the book, I'll give you the money back.
Horian, I'd like to thank you again so much for all the wonderful work you and your family have been doing over the years. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, Horian, Gracie, for being with us here on The Dean Show to cover this very, very important topic. It is so important. Like I said, when I open up, I mean, the food that we're eating, look, could be a medicine for you. That's right. You're putting the right foods in your body. This blessed body the Creator has given us, and we take care of it to take care of us. Put the wrong things in the body. That's right. You're going to be end up going to the doctor who's just going to prescribing medications that's just going to get you hooked and probably with 20, 30 different side effects. And that's it. It's a down road roller coaster. And hopefully we can get this book that he had mentioned, The Gracie Diet. Watch, get informed, eliminate a lot of the junk foods, processed foods, the foods now that are not good for your body, the sugars, replace it with some of the substitutes. We talked about raw honey, dates, stevia, eliminate the pops, coke, this poison, and drink more water, the fresh fruits and the vegetables that the Creator has given us, and really get hydrated when you start the day with the fast and when you end. And look, he had given some brilliant, wonderful advice that from the tradition, from the last and final message of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who had said, the son of Adam feels nothing worse than the belly. Was he not saying it? Look, overindulging in food. We need to make this a way of life. That's right. Then we see the benefits, making this way of eating a way of life. So not overindulging and not feasting after the fast and not just watching what we eat during Ramadan, but your whole life. And then the hadith goes on, enough for the son of Adam is to fill his belly, look, with a few morsels of food. If he's overtaken, then one third air, one third water, one third food. This is from the last and final message, Muhammad, peace be upon him. I hope that you got the benefit. I surely did. It was an honor. Thank you again, Horian, for being with us here on The Dean Show. And everybody tuning in, all the millions from all over the world who catch us here on the different satellite channels. Have a blessed Ramadan this month. And we'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.